Welcome to Alchemist X, Innovators Inside, the official podcast of Alchemist X, the corporate services division of the Alchemist Accelerator. Alchemist X operates corporate programs for spin-ins and spin-outs. Here on AXII, you'll follow host Rachel Chalmers, head of Alchemist X, as she talks to corporate innovation's highest achievers and most compelling thought leaders. These are fly-on-the-wall conversations with leading practitioners in the field. They'll share their lessons learned so that you can accelerate your development. So sit back, relax, and get ready to level up.
I am overjoyed to welcome Fernando Bordin to the show. Today, Fernando is Senior Manager for Innovation with Gerdau Next, the new business arm of Gerdau, the largest producer of long steel in Latin America. In that capacity, she's going to lead the next class of the Gerdau Next Sales Acceleration Program for Smart and Sustainable Technologies. Before coming to Gerdau, Fernando worked with Open Innovation and Data Analytics at NASA via LISH, the Laboratory of Innovation Science at Harvard, and managed the Business Incubation Program at Mercedes-Benz R&D North America. She also started Mercedes's Business Innovation Department in Brazil, where she launched and tested several companies. Fernando, thank you so much for taking time with us today.
I'm honored to be here. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. What first drew you to a career in corporate innovation?
It was really all about change, the possibility of actually helping the company shape their future and help them figure out, okay, what are they going to do when the world happens, when other companies come along and when other startups come along, and how are they going to react? So actually being able to help them there. And not only that, but not only having permission to ask questions and to question how things were working, but also getting rewarded and paid for it. I mean, come on. That's what drew me there. And then once I was there, I continued just because it's so rewarding, if sometimes stressful, but starting new businesses, exploring new things, it's a reward on itself.
Yeah, I love your point about curiosity. There are so many roles in which we can be punished for asking how things could be different. But this work is one where, you know, that's the entire point. That's what we're compensated for. I am curious though, why corporate innovation? Why not a startup?
Well, you see, here is where you start balancing a little bit your role of your personality and your desires. So I always wish to go out and wish to explore things. On the other side, this gave me a safety net where I knew I had a big corporation behind me. So yes, I was taking risks, but I wasn't alone. And I feel that that's always a struggle you have as an entrepreneur. I've met many of them. And in a lot of the times, you feel like you're by yourself. All decisions that you make, you're the only one making it. You're obviously not a specialist of everything. And so when you work with a corporate innovation, then you really have that support. So today I can literally call marketing and say, hey, this is what we're thinking for this new business. And so you still get that support. You still have that second voice to balance you out.
I love that answer because there's this tendency in startup land to think curious, ambitious people go and work at startups and people who go and work at corporations just want to pull a check. But there are all kinds of reasons other than temperament why people choose to work for a large corporation. And one of the big ones is literally just to have the company, to not be so alone, to have other minds to bounce off. I think that's really insightful.
That's one of the biggest advantages. There are many. The paycheck is also one of them, but it's good to not be alone.
So how did Gerdau Next get started?
It's a new development. For people that don't know, we actually started as Gerdau Next in Brazil in July 2020. And Gerdau Next North America actually started in March this year. So it's really something new. And this came from a desire in the company to actually start exploring new businesses. So diversifying the portfolio, accelerating new businesses, interacting with startups, making external partners. We even have a branch in mergers and acquisitions. So there really was that desire there to go beyond steel. One of the things that's really interesting is that we don't consider ourselves as an innovation department simply because innovation, you can find innovation throughout Gerdau. And that's also another thing that people keep telling me, like, wait, you're working with an innovative steel manufacturer? Like, is that even possible? And in our case, it really, really is. So if you look at our offices, seriously, no startup would feel lost there. They are all new. They're fresh. They have colors. partners. They are incentivizing collaboration. We are exploring a ton of digital solutions. We have IoT teams. We have Industry 4.0 teams. We actually have a team of developers and software developers inside of GetDAO. We really are pushing this really strongly, and this has been going for quite some time inside of GetDAO. And obviously, we have an amazing R&D as well, which is always developing new steel.
And can you tell our listeners a little bit more about the company and about Long Steel? It was new to me when you and I first started talking, and I've had a really steep learning curve. It's a fascinating space.
No, it definitely is. GetDAO in particular actually works on two main channels. One is the Long Steel itself, which supplies pretty much the construction companies.
So these are the I-beams in skyscrapers.
Exactly. So that anything you see there, that we pretty much produce it as well. The steel for it, right? We do have clients and partners that are going to transform this into the actual product that is consumed for construction. And then the second main area that we have is really on the automotive segment. So there we are producing all the steel parts that go inside of the cars and trucks that you have. And so you have a lot of diversity, and especially when you're talking about special steel, almost every client get their steel, one type of steel for them. So everything is really tailored made for them versus having a lot of standardization. That's a little bit of an interesting side of things, because on the long steel side, it's pretty much the standards that the market already have.
So tell us a little bit more about this accelerator program that you're putting together for GetDAO.
It's awesome. And I'm not just saying this because we're building it also with Alchemist, but it truly, truly is something that I'm very excited about, especially how we've tailored this and we're focusing in increasing sales and bringing growth to the startups. I feel that so many of the programs out there don't necessarily touch on this as strongly, and really this is our main focus, right? So we are looking into getting some startups that are a little bit more mature than traditionally, and then we are tailor-making the training that they're going to receive. We're really going to go and take, okay, show me your sales material, show me how you make a sales, and then we're going to diagnose that and build a training and workshop that is going to address exactly what they need. And that's really just one of the pillars that we're building, right? When you look at the second pillar that we have, which is network, we are not only going to help people to sell better, but we're going to take them, we're going to open our network, we're going to open GetDAO's contact list and really take them, introduce them to our clients, introduce them to our suppliers, take them in front of the right people that can make a decision already. And I feel that that's going to be extremely powerful.
From my experience working with Alchemist Accelerator with B2B companies, the opportunity to get a warm introduction into an ecosystem like this, which maybe isn't as connected to Silicon Valley as the financial institutions and the insurance companies, which all have Skunkworks labs here, getting into something like the steel industry and its downstream and upstream partners is just such an incredible opportunity.
I absolutely agree. Because we want to be sure that we're being complete, we are also looking into building a consumer summit for these startups. So that's going to be a new opportunity or an additional opportunity for them to get feedback from their clients, from their target clients, in how they can improve. So I feel really that this covers almost like a 360 degrees, the sales aspect of building a new company and especially growing a new company.
And you have a secret goal here, don't you? Not just to increase sales, but to build new multinationals.
Yes, that's definitely true. That's the dream. We're not this for the short run. We're here for the long run. So as the program is running, the startups that are selected, we're going to have a separate team looking at their concept and seeing how can we bring these companies into new countries. Currently, GetDAO has a presence in almost every country in the Americas. And so we have already entry into this market. So as it's going, what we're planning to do is let's analyze the potential. Let's see if there's market for this new solution, for this new model, and look at how can we bring these companies over. And we're very open to different models. So it doesn't need to be something where we're going to, okay, license that deal. It can be a licensing deal. It can be a joint venture. It can be an investment through our corporate venture. So really, we're open to the models and seeing if the potential is there. How can we help the startup grow internationally and nationally?
And I want to pick up on what you said there about potentially investing. You know, a traditional accelerator takes equity in exchange for the services it provides, but you're doing something a little bit different. Do you want to talk more about that?
We're not requiring any type of equity. There is absolutely no cost to participate in the program. Since we do have a corporate venture, these companies will be analyzed by our corporate venture as a potential investment, which would be a completely different discussion. So it's really, we're going to look at them. They're going to analyze it. If you're not open right now to funding, that's okay. If we like you, we're going to wait for you. And whenever you open a round, we just want to sit in the table. And where I think it's really very, very valuable, that pure gold actually, is that once we analyze the company and once we get that feedback from Paris Ventures, you as a startup owner actually gets that same transparent feedback. I feel that so many times as you're trying to raise money in the market, you get a no and you get this very polite answer of, well, you know, we went into a different direction, which
it's just not a fit for us.
Yes, exactly. You're perfect. Just not for me. It's not you, it's me. And as much as that spares your feelings, it really is not helpful as an owner. You know, you need to know, what am I doing wrong? Why is that not a fit? And this is where we are making, you know, that commitment that we are going to be transparent.
Fernando, what do you think makes corporate innovation so difficult?
I would say there are so many potential topics on there. But the truth one, I feel, is, and the main one, I feel, is that the companies that are going after innovation are extremely successful. And as it sounds weird, the fact is because they are so successful and they have been so successful for so long, that when you start talking about let's do things differently, or you start questioning the way things are, or you even say, hey, I know we're making X, but we could be making 10X if we were to change. It takes them a while because they have been trained to actually do things in the way that works. And often with innovation, it's not that you're going from X to 10X in 6 weeks. It actually takes time. And so that means that you're bringing uncertainty. You're bringing this whole new concept of risk where things are actually working.
You're messing with a winning formula.
Exactly. That's how it can be perceived,
yes.
You know? And there's this other aspect as well, that as companies grow, they become really, really good at doing what they do and only what they do. So there is always this trade-off between flexibility and productivity. If you want to have an assembly line that's going to produce just any car in the world, it's going to be a very inefficient line because you're going to have double inventory and you're going to have more people and more types of specializations. You're going to have, you know, the difference in tech time, where one product's going to take 5 minutes and the other product's going to take 10. And so it's going to be incredibly inefficient. And that's also true for big companies. So they become, very soon as they start growing, they become very efficient in doing and delivering their service with the same quality, which is exactly what you want as you're growing, but not necessarily what you need if you want to diversify and you want to have other ways to make money as well. So I feel that brings a lot of difficulty to the system.
So my impression of you, as we've been working together, is that you're extraordinarily gifted at bringing these different stakeholders to the table. I've seen you persuade your business units. I've seen you pull in the marketing department. How do you make those arguments? How do you persuade people to take a risk on something as chancy as this accelerator?
It's always about two things. One is finding the right partners. So in every corporation, you always have people that are naturally excited. Let's call them the corporate early adopters, right? So finding those people and knowing who they are is always very, very helpful. So that's one aspect of it. And the other aspect is really about bringing or repurposing what you're trying to do. Always look for the win-win solution. So it's never really only about what you want to do and your project. It's really about how can my project or this project actually contribute to your targets, to your KPIs? How can we use this to also have that second message or that third message that's going to impact you in a positive way?
Yeah, and it's interesting coming from Silicon Valley, which is the land of the zero-sum game. You know, literally everybody reads Peter Thiel's 0 to 1. To a corporate environment where you have to look at those mutually beneficial outcomes. It's about working in company. You've got to find ways for everyone to benefit.
Exactly. And very often, I'm going to tell you, more often than not, I end up with better solutions than I started. So more than once, somebody brings, or we have to do some concession because that's then going to help the other department. The final product, more often than not, is better than what we started.
Yeah, functional teams are so much more than the sum of their parts.
Sure, it adds complexity, but it's worth it.
How would you distill all of your experience, not just with Gadow, but with NASA and Mercedes, into one or two lessons for our listeners?
Well, there are much more than one and two lessons.
we've got all day.
No, but I also won't go through all of them. But I would say the first one, and this one I think everybody has heard 50 times, but I'm going to say it again just because it's very, very true. That is, you have always to start with your client and with your target audience. And I know it's cliche, but it's true. One thing I always tell people is you can start a business without a solution, but you cannot start a business without a client every single time. So really start with a client, make sure that you're solving a problem and that problem is real, not the one that you think. Go for simplicity. If you don't have to build the solution right now, don't build the solution right now, because I assure you that what you think your solution is, it's not right, and you're going to end up changing it anyway. So that is a big one. Another one that I really think, and this is almost also one that it's for life, not only for corporate innovation, but it's really consider all the opportunities with care and pay attention to them, because it has happened to me in the past more often than not that I thought I was having one conversation and I wasn't. I was having a conversation about, you know, a totally different thing. Somebody's asking you, what's your opinion about Argentina? And what they actually mean is, would you go to Argentina and start a business there? Truly listen for the opportunities. Sometimes somebody's going to tell you, hey, I have like this idea, or I'm going to run this thing over here. Be open to actually pay attention and listen to it, because many, many times you're going to get like really awesome chances and gold opportunities in there that you just didn't notice immediately. A third point that I have, and I think it's always very, very important, is to build a strong network, not only inside of the company where you are, but also between companies, across industries. Because a lot of times, the solution you're looking for already exists.
Yes.
It's just in a different industry. It's just focused on something different, but it's there. You don't have to reinvent it. So if you have chances, you know, participate in forums, go to roundtables, reach out to people. And I'm not the most outgoing person, so I know the hassles of trying to network. But I found out that the best time to connect with people is when you don't need anything from them.
Yeah, that's so true.
If you have to connect with somebody when you need something from them, it bleeds out that you have some sort of interest. So really, when you don't need anything from them, that's when you should try. And especially if you can offer them something. Let's build something together. Let's have a discussion. Really try to take those opportunities to really make those connections, because they're going to help you a lot as you're facing all your challenges.
Yeah, I have literally never regretted paying anything forward in my career.
Very true. And the last thing that I have, which is a little bit closer once again to working in big corporations, is be careful of what I call majority bias. This is really when you are surrounded by people that think like you, be that because you have the same nationality, be that because you have the same background. And very often what happens is, because you're hearing your opinion back to you, you think that that's brilliant. And you ignore the two or three people that are telling you that, no, maybe that's not the perfect fit. And I've seen this happen a lot in multinationals when you're talking with the headquarters. Not because they are mean, but because there's more of them. And as you sit down in the table, you have, you know, eight people from one nationality and three people from different nationalities. And you have the three people telling, hey, this is not a good idea. But the other eight are saying, yeah, it's awesome. And you don't really realize that in actuality, you're having three cultures telling you this is not good and one culture telling you this is awesome.
Yeah, that's a really powerful one. Listen to your pessimists and also listen to the pessimists inside your own head. I've found in my career when I'm making a bad decision, I have misgivings. I just squish them down and ignore them. We always want to think that things are going to work out well. We want to default to complacency, but that paranoia can really be your friend.
But I'm going to add there, always also try to, you know, be afraid, but do it anyway.
Yes. Yeah.
So it's really a balance of, okay, expect the best, plan for the worst, but do it. Because that's the other thing. The only way you lose is if you don't do it.
Verify, but trust.
Yeah. It's always a balance. That's the one thing about life, right?
When you look back on your career, what are you proudest of?
That's a very interesting question. Because you see, personally, I always want my proudest moment to be in front of me and not behind me. You know, I always want to have like that new thing and that important thing that's coming up. And so I'm always looking forward and not always looking that back.
That's such a great answer, because so many people are like, oh, well, I achieved this and that. And you're like, no, my best days are still ahead of me. It's a really refreshing perspective.
It makes life simpler, actually. Like you can be proud as much as you want, because we've all done amazing things, every single one of us. But always having that expectation, like the next thing is coming, keeps you aware and keeps you paying attention so that you can achieve it.
There's this wonderful line, we're watching Hacks, which is this amazing comedy with Jean Smart, the stand-up comedian. And there's a point at which she turns around to her millennial sidekick irritant and says, so you're good. So what? Good is the minimum. Everyone here is good. That's where you start. It's such a great scene.
And I think that that's such the reality of
it really
life,
is.
Right?
Yeah.
Because everybody's good at something. And that's the other thing. We're not all good at the same thing, but we are all good at something. So good is exactly where you start.
Yeah. And that's a really important point as well, because the technocrats do tend to have this very dismissive attitude to people in the enterprise and vice versa. And what I've found most useful in this communication bridging the gap thing is finding out what people are good at and what they're passionate about, and then tapping into the point of view from which their decisions and their commentary makes sense. Having that sort of radical empathy and recognizing that everyone's an expert in their own field is a really powerful tool.
Absolutely.
How do you think the pandemic might affect corporations like Gerdau in the longer term?
I'm excited for it. I think the impact is going to be so good. For one, and I think undeniably, the digitalization of life. So many companies had to adopt virtual work, had to start looking through that and adopting it. And I think that's going to be beneficial for every single one of the ones that were able to do it. Also, because once you start going digital, you start having data. And I genuinely believe that data analytics is the future of decision making. Actually, I think that for certain companies around, it's actually the reality of decision making. And so it's something that I feel, okay, having data is so essential, and it all starts by collecting data. So going digital helps you there. And from there, you start making smarter and smarter decisions, because now you have data to support you, where before you only had like gut feeling. Now you can mix them both.
I would push back a little on that. I would say you have the potential to make smarter and smarter decisions. There are people sitting on enormous piles of data who are resolutely ignoring what it's actually telling them.
Yeah, it's very true. It's very true. And another thing I strongly believe it's going to happen with corporations is that they're going to become more talent-centric. Before, because you had to physically be there, you always had those challenges of, I found the perfect person for this job, but now I have to convince them to move, you know, 1,000 miles somewhere else. By having this possibility of virtual work or even mixed work, you can now become a lot more focused in, no, this is the right person for us. So, hey, let's let them work remote for a while, and then they'll fly over, stay a week, a month, and things like that. And it really allows you to get more talent, get not better people, but the people that are the best fit to what you need. And so I think that that's also going to be something very important for the corporations.
That said, you've been so busy and you do so many things, and I know what long hours you work. How do you avoid burnout?
I would say it's all about preparation of the mind and of the body. So really, I think the biggest thing, at least for me, for burnout is truly being prepared psychologically to know what's going on. One thing of starting new businesses is that some days you wake up and you're the king of the world. Oh, nobody has a better idea than you have. Like, that's so gonna work. That's so amazing. And then 5 minutes later, something happens. Like a client tells you no. And now you're feeling as if, what were you thinking? Like, of course, this is a horrible idea. And then, you know, 2 days later, you have a new contract. And now you're back to being, you know, feel in your kingdom. It varies a lot, and you need to be prepared psychologically to know that that's going to happen.
I'm laughing because I recognize myself so much in this account.
I know. So if you know that that's going to happen and that is normal, you can actually bring yourself back from both extremes. And once you are a little bit more stable, now it's much harder to burn out, really having that preparation. The other thing is you have to respect your body as well. Plan for sleep and choose to sleep. That's also another thing. So often we choose not to sleep because you're tired. And that sounds weird, I know. But sometimes you're like, okay, I've been working, and you're like, I want to watch TV. And then you go into YouTube or whatever you want. And now once you realize it's been 4 hours and it's midnight and you haven't slept. And so choose to sleep, you know, choose that, okay, I'm going to turn off the TV at 10. And yes, it's an early bed, but hey, I need my sleep. So you go and you sleep and schedule that time for yourself, and also prepare your mind to go through those rigors. And that way you can at least help with burnout.
Fernanda, what is the best way for our listeners to connect with you or follow your work?
So definitely LinkedIn. I think that's one of the easiest ways to connect. But also, and I can't believe I forgot to mention it, for our acceleration program, we're creating an extended judge panel. If you aren't part of a corporation and you would be interested in participating and bringing the knowledge and bringing part of your network, even if you're willing to, let me know. Just send me a message on LinkedIn saying, hey, I want to know more. And we can sit down and connect and talk a little bit more of ways that potentially can make sense.
If you think you're not qualified, you already are. Please don't hesitate to reach out.
Definitely. We want you.
Fernanda, is there anything I forgot to ask you?
No, I think we covered everything. Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure to be here.
It's such a pleasure to have you. Thank you so much.
This has been Alchemist X, Innovators Inside. If you enjoy our show, we'd be grateful if you could give us a rating or comment on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast platform. You can find the transcript of this conversation, plus links to whatever books, articles, TV shows, and apps we talked about on alchemistaccelerator.com/podcasts. If you'd like to chat more about our corporate programs for spin-ins and spin-outs, email us at innovators@alchemistaccelerator.com. We love hearing from you, so stay connected by following Alchemist X on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. Until next time, this has been Alchemist X, Innovators Inside.